All right, welcome to the Norton North podcast. I am one of your hosts, Trent Anderson, and I am joined by the little N, Mr. Vince Norton.
Hey, Trent. Thanks for putting this together today. Excited to launch this inaugural podcast and share some good stuff with people.
Absolutely. So to that point, this is the inaugural episode of the Norton North podcast, and what we're going to be doing is sharing tips, tricks, best practices. We'll be inviting guests, some of our clients, some of our colleagues, as well as some thought leaders in the marketing, admissions, training, and assessment space. So we hope you stay tuned. We'll be available on YouTube for video. We'll be available on Facebook for video and text, and we'll be available on Instagram for the same thing. And we will also be available on your favorite podcast destination. So if you're an Apple Podcast user, Spotify, Podcast One, whatever it is, we will be there for you. So without further ado, it's only fitting that our first guest here is Vince, and we thought it'd be a good idea to start out with maybe what's old is new again, and that's not a dig at the fine-looking gentleman across from me right now. It is a question because in working in marketing, as you have, Vince, for what, I don't want to age you, but what, three decades?
Could be 4 decades.
Could be 4 decades. Obviously, a lot has changed. So social media didn't exist, and before that, the internet wasn't around. So we had what we call now traditional media, TV, radio, print, direct mail, that sort of thing. So Vince, can you share with our audience, what is the state of traditional media?
Well, you know, it's alive and well to be you know, right to the point, because you've still got to drive traffic to your digital properties. And without some traditional methodologies and some traditional channels to create awareness, I mean, how are people going to learn about you? So, you know, outdoor is as strong as it's ever been.
Really?
Absolutely. I mean, it's so geo-targeted. I don't even know, you know, 40 years ago when I bought my first board, if, you know, we even knew what geotargeting was, but, you know, we knew that it was location specific, right?
Sure.
That still exists today. And the TV, although the space is fragmented and you're going to want to be on, you know, regular TV and connected TV both, you know, there's a lot more options, but still, you know, people count on TV for their news. You know, you can target with it. You know, you still have Nielsen ratings for your, you know, for your age, for your, you know, for your male, female. So it's still a very viable approach to, you know, creating awareness and driving some direct response. People don't pay enough attention to creative, but, you know, some things never change. So, sure. I mean, constantly have to fight that battle and say, you know, it's not enough to be on the air, but you got to be on the air with, you know, solid spots and really, really think about your message. And I've been talking a lot about message lately out on the conference trail. And, you know, that's, you know, it's just consistently overlooked.
Sure. Sure. So what I'm hearing you say is media, traditional or digital or new age or emerging, it's really all about context and it's really all about content. And when you talk about message, it doesn't matter what the platform is or what the channel is. If you have a suboptimal message, it doesn't matter where you're placing that media. Is that right?
Sure thing. Yeah. I mean, the message has to, people need to take a step back and think, mm-hmm. What's the message I want to get across? You know, what are my unique selling propositions? You know, what are my points of difference? And, you know, in our space, I don't see people taking a step back to think about that. You know, I was working with a group of admissions people, you know, just last Friday, and I did a little exercise and they said, okay, everybody come up to the board and, you know, write a USP up on the board. And, you know, they really struggle with that kind of thing. You know, they can identify features, but to really, really surface what makes us unique and then stay on point with that message is relatively hard. And maybe I'm getting off track here because I know you're
good.
Media. But I just, you know, it's important for our viewers and listeners to understand that, you know, being thoughtful about our message And then once you're thoughtful, being consistent.
Sure.
And continuing that same message across multiple channels is key to success.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. So tell me a little bit about how, you know, you can integrate as a business across multiple channels. Obviously, we're talking traditional plus digital, and how we marry the two of them. How do you keep your message consistent, and how do you keep your creative consistent?
So, you know, you keep your message consistent by, you know, crystallizing your message points.
Yep.
And not trying to be everything to everybody, really distilling it down and, you know, keeping it simple.
Sure.
And driving that message across, and having, I mean, you almost have to think public relations, right? You know, before you prep for any speaking engagement, you know, you've got your hot seat questions, you've got your key talking points, so that if the conversation goes one way, you can keep coming back and say, Vince, that's a good point. And like I said earlier, we want to see how that ties back into TV
right.
and social media.
Right.
So staying on point with your key message points is key. And then realizing that when you're going to measure your success, attribution is more challenging today than it ever has been, because people can get the message from so many different channels.
Right.
And, you know, ultimately that inquiry, that call to action, it's probably going to show up on your website. And, you know, knowing the different mechanisms and analytics to look at within your website, and knowing that there's a difference between direct traffic and referral traffic, and how your traditional media, how your offline media plays a role in that. I think, you know, we sort of have to, you know, change the channel just a little bit, pun intended, but change the channel to talk about attribution at the same time, because, you know, although it's harder and harder with traditional media, measurement is key. And I can share one way we look at that here in a minute. If
yeah, you know, please do help us unpack that. Help us unpack the attribution challenge that everyone has.
Yeah. So one of the things I'm always intrigued by is time of day and day part analysis as to when the traffic comes to your website, mm-hmm. and really kind of parsing it out and looking at it. And, you know, when you buy TV, so back to the old dinosaur here with TV, when you buy TV, either by, you know, spot programming, and you say, I want my spot to run in, you know, pick one of your favorite shows. I know you like the Good Bike Girls, Trent. Right? I'm sorry, it was the Golden Girls.
The Golden Girls, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of your favorites. You know, you can buy your rotator, and, you know, you buy your spots a little bit less expensively, a little cheaper, and your spots run, you know, from say 9A to 4P during your classic, you know, daytime, you know, coverage. Or you can zero in and say, no, you know, we really think that, you know, we want to get those influencers, we want to go on the new news. It's actually a strategy we use sometimes. I know probably our students that we're trying to reach aren't on the new news, but, you know, chances are somebody in their life that's, you know, going to give them some advice or counsel could be.
Right.
So we might pick that new news, for example, and the day part analysis just involves a simple downloading of your inquiries that, you know, come in into your CRM, download those inquiries. They typically will have a timestamp on them, and look at your inquiries Monday through Friday, primarily. Look at the timestamp on those inquiries, and then maybe graph it out, maybe chart it out, sort it however you like to slice and dice your data. But you can start to see, most of the time when you do this, you can start to see some peaks and some valleys in when people are submitting an inquiry on your website. Now, what we'll see sometimes is that it follows normal daytime patterns of, you know, you get up, you get a shower, you go to work, you know, you get to work, and instead of working, you know, you're on the website, you know. Hey, let me find out what I can do instead of this job that I hate so much. But, you know, we've seen some interesting things. We've seen some data that tells us that we have shift workers, you know, coming home from third shift, and you know, consuming some television, and then going out and submitting an inquiry.
Sure.
We've seen some, you know, we'll see a big fall off if we're working with schools that serve a lot of moms and a lot of non-traditional students. We'll see a huge fall off at, you know, at 3 or 4 o'clock. Well, you say, why did our inquiries drop at 3 or 4 o'clock? And it's like, well, think about it. The kids came home from school.
Exactly. And,
you know, you're going to experience this in just a couple of years, but it's like all of a sudden the world's going to stop.
Right.
You know, you're gonna have those classic conversations or over cookies and, you know, what, you know, a little afternoon snack of, you know, what happened at school today. And, you know, you're not going to be submitting inquiries and working on, you know, your phone and, you know, consuming information. So, you know, you're able to see peaks and valleys. And, you know, ironically, when we've sorted this by market, I've noticed definitive spikes. And, you know, it's interesting because you're like, wait a minute, there's a spike in West Michigan at 11 o'clock in the morning. And then I look over and I look at, you know, Southern Kentucky, and there's a DMA down there. There's a spike there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And you start to do a little more digging and you say, you know, is there a program running at different times during the day? Because your programming does vary,
sure,
you know, across your markets. And we've actually been able to discover that specific programming will often outpull, you know, broad rotators.
Sure.
I don't think I'm going to reveal in this podcast what that programming is.
Right.
People keep watching, but you know, if you can really zero in and discover that, you know, there's a program that my prospects, that my target audience relates better to, then you scrap that broad rotator,
right?
And you say, let's do some spot buys and just focus in on, you know, some specific programming. And that's, I mean, in some ways that's the beauty of traditional media,
right?
If there's a day of the week that you like or hate, you know, load up on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that could vary by market, and that's where you know, when you get to know your audience, when you get to know your prospects and their lifestyle habits, those are some things that you can be doing and should be doing, which, you know, I don't know if you can use your digital media and target quite the same way.
Right. Well, there are a couple things you brought up there that I'd like to unpack too. So the first part of that is utilizing digital to drive better decision making and buying for traditional. Now, would the inverse also be true? Can you use traditional and seeing the increase in spikes, like you're talking peaks and valleys, to then further drive your digital, be PPC, you know, Facebook ads, and then day part some of those activities as well? Is that a correct assumption to make?
You know Google Analytics a lot better than I do because I'm a dinosaur and you're not. But if you've got the timestamp in Google Analytics and you can see, you know, traffic to your site increases or decreases, certainly you can correlate that to your traditional. We have experimented in some of the big markets with increasing our ads, increasing what we're willing to pay for our PPC ads.
Mm-hmm.
When certain programming is run. So,
sure.
You know, we can do some bracketing and bracketing with my hands in the camera here. You do some bracketing and, you know, increase bids during and immediately after, you know, when our TV spots are running, for example.
Sure.
That's kind of like advanced correlation. And I don't even know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
But, you know, connecting the dots and, you know, making everything work better together is, you know, smart money.
Yeah. And it's not just about advertising either. It's other marketing channels like email, text message, SMS blasts. Even when you post on your Facebook page, your Instagram page, I think all of that data that you can collect on your consumer's behavior is going to help, you know, make your targeting and your marketing all that much more refined, which again, The other thing that I heard you say is when you take that broad-based approach and you're using a shotgun, then you're hoping that something you're going to hit something with your buckshot. Whereas if you kind of narrow that down with better data, better targeting, so on and so forth, you're going to get much better returns when you actually, you know, rule number one, know thy customer, right? Is that kind of what I'm hearing you say?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Rule one, you know, rule two, target, you know, and fish where the fish are.
Yep.
You know, there's some examples where your traditional media, you know, isn't the thing to use.
Sure.
And it has nothing to do with being traditional, but it has everything to do with your ability to target.
Right.
And in many cases, you know, the designated market area, you know, the DMA, it's too big.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're located, you know, over, you know, it's 4:30, let's say your DMA is a watch, it's a clock, and, you know, your business is living down at 4:30, but your signal is reaching 10, 11, and 12.
Yep.
And those people are never, they're not going to drive across town.
Right.
And so, you know, using a big traditional media channel, like, you know, radio and getting the whole market or TV, you probably want to rethink that.
Yeah.
And then there's other market areas. I mean, I lived in the York, Harrisburg, Lancaster. Mm-hmm. It's not Lancaster, it's Lancaster.
Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah, I you know, it's the horse and buggy land there.
Yeah, that's Western Pennsylvania, right?
Well, south, kind of southeastern Pennsylvania.
Southeastern, okay, all right.
And you know, that market is a triad, and
okay.
you've got the city of Harrisburg, you've got the city of Dork, I mean York, and you've got Lancaster, you know, all sharing the same, you know, TV signal. Well, the last I checked, there is a Walmart in each of those towns. And, you know, I didn't learn this in any specific media buying seminar or anything, but I happen to believe that if there's a Walmart in your town and you're used to going there, you're probably not going to go to the next town to go to Walmart.
Yep.
So, you know, when you're, you know, in one of those triad cities and, you know, you're purchasing a traditional TV signal and you're reaching not only your city, but those two other ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, people from your city will come to your shop, restaurant, store, school,
right.
You know, senior living center, but the one, the next town over, you know, probably not going to happen. And in that specific case, there's a natural geographic boundary called
sure.
the Susquehanna River that, you know, and, you know, when people were growing up in the horse and buggy time, you know, there weren't very many bridges.
Right.
So you people didn't cross national geographic boundaries. And, you know, I look at that same phenomena that occurs, you know, down in Cincinnati.
Mm.
You know, the Cincinnati airport is actually in Kentucky. I don't know if
right.
you know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, people from northern Kentucky, even though they're getting that Cincy signal, you know, they're not going to be as likely to cross that big river.
Yep.
I can't explain it. Maybe someday I'll be able to, but it just happens. And so it makes targeting important, and, you know, understand your customer, understand your market, and do some of those classic, you know, we talk about traditional media, but, you know, doing some of that classic zip code targeting.
Yeah.
You know, look at where your customers come from and, you know, use that to inform, you know, what channels you're going to purchase. And that may tell you to stay, you know, away from the mass media, or it might tell you to go ahead. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Great, 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 great stuff. Only someone who's been doing this for a couple of years would know the ins and the outs of media buying to that extent. So that's greatly appreciated. Now, if folks are doing traditional media, i.e. TV or radio, let's talk about the million-dollar question. How is that shifting more towards digital? What are some of those new distribution methods? And I'm primarily talking about streaming radio and OTT. What's your view on those new kind of the new age of traditional?
Well, you know, it all depends on who you talk to, right?
Yeah, sure.
You know, if I'm talking to my account exec from my local Fox affiliate,
yeah.
you know, they may recognize those, you know, new avenues exist, but they still may be, you know, encouraging the major part of the buy on the, you know, the tried and true. You know, I'm gonna skip the OTT question for just a minute and focus just on, you know, Pandora and the, you know, streaming radio. The wonderful thing that, you know, Pandora, Spotify allow you to do is to target by zip code. And, you know, that's also happening with your OTT products. But, you know, targeting by zip code is very beneficial. And when we're trying to spread the word in some of those, you know, market areas, like I just explained, you know, my business is down at 4:30 and I don't want that signal reaching, you know, the whole face of the clock, then, you know, shifting and using Pandora and targeting by zip code, targeting by age, and targeting by gender is very, very attractive to me. So I'm a huge fan from that regard. I will say that, you know, from an attribution point of view, that, and I've been using Pandora probably for 5 years.
Wow.
It's really, you know, it's rare that you see or you get a report and have that report indicate that, you know, Pandora worked. So sorry, friends from Pandora, love ya. But it doesn't show up. Now, I don't know whether people just, you know, consider audio as radio. But, you know, it doesn't show up on inquiry attribution models that we use and when we query, you know, new customers. However, I can tell you that just using, you know, drawing a line in the sand and having, you know, pre-campaign, during campaign, and post-campaign, that I can see spikes.
You know,
I can see results. And if that's the independent variable, if that's the only thing you changed in the campaign, then, you know, you better go ding, 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 ding. This works. And give credit to that campaign. So I do really like the isolating and the targeting that you can do. And I do think we're going to see more of that because our advertising methodologies are only going to get better and better and more targeted, you know, probably until they're not. And then we'll just cycle back and say, this is so much work. Why do we go to all this?
Great. So for those that maybe have never advertised on radio, either traditional radio or streaming radio, how do those providers, those publishers, how do they give feedback to advertisers and then, you know, like us agencies, and then how do we give that information back to our clients to say this worked or this did not work? What are some of those key performance indicators?
Well, you know, traditional radio is, it's, it's anybody's guess. All you have is if the station subscribes to, you know, a rating service. And your smaller markets, they're not going to subscribe. So you're either going to get the feel good of, hey, I was in the dentist chair and I heard your commercial, or you're going to get something anecdotal, and you really aren't going to have much in the way of measurement at all. You know, I think the majority of, you know, websites now are shying away from, you know, don't add another, you know, pick list on your website and ask them how they heard about us. You know, you're just going to get people completing your form because you're making the form longer, or they're just going to tick the first thing that's on the list. So, you know, traditional radio gets real hard to measure. Pandora, on the other hand, in your, you know, your streaming will verify, you know, and give you an affidavit that your signal did reach, you know, X number of people, and normally they'll over deliver. You know, personally, you know, all of the times they tell me somebody tapped the screen, I don't believe it. I think that's somebody that's an error. You know, they were trying to hit advance or forward or, you know, do something on their phone, and I don't believe the screen taps, because when you try to correlate the, hey, this many people tapped the screen and went to your website, you know, by the way, set up a separate landing page so you can really track it and get some analytics. And it's not going to correlate. You're going to have this number of, you know, people that said they tapped the screen, and you're going to have this number way down here of people that actually did. So, you know, personally, I don't put any stock in that. Again, sorry. And I also, I don't buy desktop Pandora. I don't know. I don't, you know, I don't let my employees listen to streaming radio at work, at least when I know about it. You know, it's like, do some work. That's why we're here. I'm really only interested in the mobile traffic.
Sure.
Okay. But yeah, it, you know, again, the attribution models get harder and harder. I would really, strongly suggest that people, you know, try one thing at a time. You know, it's like, you know, your little boy's plate when he starts eating food out of it, when he's not in a baby jar. Yeah. You know, you're going to put it in those divider dishes. You know, do the same thing with your marketing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Let's mix it all together.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna start a new initiative. You know, whether it's outdoor, whether it's, you know, TV, whether it's radio, we're gonna start a new initiative.
Right. You know,
we're gonna run this. We're gonna let it run a while and give it time to mature too.
Sure.
And then we'll take a look at, you know, pre-campaign, during campaign, post-campaign, and there should be some nice residual, you know, from that campaign. And when you're looking at results, you got to look at total results, even your word of mouth kind of things.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the proper mix of media, you know, people are going to be getting those messages from, you know, all different sources, and they're not going to be able to separate. You know, I can't remember, you know, if I, you know, where I heard it, where I saw it. But, you know, I should, if it's working, as the sum of everything,
sure.
You know, visit that place of business.
Yeah, no, that's great. So in addition to some of these streaming services, one of the channels that I'm super bullish on, for clients and then, you know, and otherwise, is podcasts. And we saw Spotify make a huge play in buying Anchor, as well as a couple other podcast, basically creation studios. And they recognized that radio is one thing, and that's basically all streaming services like Pandora and Spotify are. But the long form, or sometimes short form content, you know, podcasts or what have you, there's a huge amount of interest in that, and it's a huge amount of demand. So whether you're riding the train on your way into the city or wherever you work, or you're riding in your car on your way to work, Americans today want to be entertained. They want to be, one, informed, and two, entertained. And if you have a blend of the two, you create a $100 million podcast experience like Joe Rogan has, for example. Now, if you want to advertise on Joe Rogan, I think you're going to be paying, you know, upwards of six figures per spot. But what I think is really important to understand as an advertiser or a publisher is that you can get very detailed about who your subscribership is. And I think even more so than what traditional radio can provide. And we've already, Vince, you've already done a great job of explaining how there are holes in the boat, so to speak, in terms of attribution. Whereas through the podcast, since it is a digital platform, and it's built, you know, with the same sort of metrics that Google and Facebook have in mind, you're able to develop a really clear picture about who your audience is. And then because it's still kind of the wild, wild west, if you will, of advertising, prices are a lot lower than they would be on, you know, like we're talking about Joe Rogan or even like a CBS or ESPN morning radio program. So I highly recommend at least taking a look at podcasts, and specifically in your target market or target demographic. So that's one tip that I would advise everyone to look at as well. So you didn't want to talk OTT. Do you want to go OTT or do you want to leave that for another day?
I'm going to go back to podcasts for a minute. Are you seeing any trends in users and subscribers age-wise? You know, I know my son, who you know, you know, apparently these days when he's driving to see me in Michigan, he'd rather listen to a podcast than his favorite rapper, which, you know, I'm like, You know, you turned down Chance the Rapper to listen to a podcast, and you know, he's 29. So, does it, you know, does it tail off at some point? And as you approach dinosaur status, adapting that technology, or what kind of, where's the sweet spot there?
Yeah. So again, it's going to depend on the actual podcast and what kind of content they churn out. So let's just use Joe Rogan as an example. His demo is 18 to 34, about 99 maybe percent male. And that's incredible. Now you have the success of the Serial podcast. I'm sure there's folks that have seen or heard that. And that's basically kind of like a murder mystery in the palm of your hand or in your AirPod. And that ends up skewing more towards, you know, 40 to 55 because, again, it's almost like listening to a book on tape, but it's fresh content produced almost on a regular basis. So, and I think you've seen this too with more of the traditional media players, whether it's sports, radio. I mean, they're taking their on-air segments and then they, you know, kind of package them up, put them on a bow, tie them up with a bow, and then they shoot that out as a podcast as well, because they recognize that, yes, podcasts are trending to the younger side, but there is that on-demand quality that we understand from TV is so so important, because the ability for users to do things on their own time is huge. And it's no secret. I mean, workers are overworked and overstressed, and you know, some of them aren't allowed to listen to streaming radio in their office or place of business. So they'll hit download on their way out on the company Wi-Fi, and guess what? They're firing that baby up on their way home. So to answer your question, obviously it's going to depend on the content and the podcast itself, but it's representative across the board. So again, I think there's application for almost any business or school or senior living facility for sure.
So on your question on OTT, I'm gonna put that in the parking lot.
Okay.
And, you know, next week after, something like that. Let's have one of our media friends come in.
Yeah.
And really do a little deeper download. I think it merits you know, some standalone time for it.
Sure.
Because of the, you know, complexity of it and the, you know, the variety involved there. And keep the let the dinosaur talk traditional.
Great. Awesome. So is there anything, key takeaways, maybe three things that people should walk away from today? I'll start. The first thing I think is nailing your message. That's probably first and foremost. What would be the second?
It's got to be targeting.
Yeah.
And, you know, targeting both geographically, targeting your age, you know, your income. And I guess, you know, another little nugget is there is, you know, when you target, you also can't be fooled by the numbers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's programming that we don't buy that skews very well. If you just bought by some of the rating points alone, mm-hmm. and you were looking at daytime TV, you may end up buying programming that, you know, produces a lot of people in your age range, but socioeconomically it's not a match. So, sure. You know, when you target, you know, look at all the information, look at geography, look at age, look at socioeconomic, you know, factors as well.
Sure.
But, you know, really pay attention to targeting. I mean, one of my favorite targeting stories is I was in a retail store in New Buffalo, Michigan. Now, New Buffalo is right at the corner. It's technically in the Chicagoland DMA, mm-hmm. but it's really out on the edges of that corner. And I heard an ad for a community college. And in fact, it's the community college that I pay my taxes to that was 50 miles away.
And wow.
Here, this community college was buying ads, not on, you know, local cable TV and just getting their zone, or not on the, you know, tiny little radio station with a very weak signal. They were buying radio ads on one of the most popular Chicago radio stations that was reaching all of Chicagoland. And it was reaching from Waukegan to Naperville and Aurora, all the way down and around to New Buffalo. And I thought, wow, those are my tax dollars at work.
Yeah.
You know, they don't understand targeting.
Yeah.
So You know, I wanted them to be a target.
Sure. Were you successful? Did you get a, you score a meeting with them?
No, no.
Well, we'll link them to this podcast so they can see what we're talking about. All right, so we got message, we got target, and what's a third thing? I like to do it in threes.
Consistency.
Consistency, yeah.
If you can't be unique, be consistent.
Yep. Love it. Awesome. Well, Vince, thank you so much for your time today. This will be the first of many conversations. We'll get the next one queued up for a really fun OTT discussion. And we thank you guys for tuning in. If you guys have any questions, please reach out to Vince or myself on LinkedIn or via email. We'll see a lot of content posted over, you know, the long haul here. So thanks for taking this ride with us, and we hope to see you again soon. Thanks, Vince.
Thanks, Trent.